Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Bark Radio listeners. Welcome aboard. This week, Carrie and I both have noticed there's just been a lot of really negative dog story stuff going on out there. Bad things happening to good dogs, and we decided rather than talk about that, because it's pretty much of a bummer, we're going to try and talk about some good dog news. What do you think, Terry?
I think that's a good plan, because I need some good dog news.
Yeah, we all do. And we're going to start it off with this really wonderful happy ending story that we heard about today in the state of Virginia. It's about an 18-month-old German Shepherd who got separated from his family. We don't know the details, only that because he was microchipped, he has been identified in Florida, and he's going to be coming back home. How cool is that, Terry?
That's cool. I mean, that's amazing. And you hear stories like that. It doesn't get enough press or publicity, but you do hear that that happens.
So the key here, folks, is have good identification on your dog. Microchipping is one option. It is a national program. So, you know, if you're in the program's database and your dog is lost, separated from you, and is scanned by a shelter or vet, whatever, you'll be notified and be able to reunite with your dog. And tattooing is another option. Right, Terry?
It is. I'm not a fan of that, though, but
right.
People do it, and I get that. But
right. But the key is to pick a way, some way to identify your dog in case he or she is lost.
Right.
And,
yeah, absolutely. It's the best chance you have of getting it back. And if nothing else, make sure that you have a good tag on your collar and have a good quality collar so it doesn't break off. And
right.
You know, on the tag, make sure it has your cell number and your name or the dog's name and a cell number, something that so people can get in touch with you.
Right. Because you never know, guys. I know no one anticipates that they will lose their dog, but it happens every day. And, you know, that's a really good segue, Terry, into another story we just read about Poppy. talk about losing your dog, but only briefly. Why don't you tell folks about this one, Terry? It's amazing.
Well, this story comes from the UK, East Sussex area, and it's a right along the ocean is where they were at, and it's very high cliffs. In this case, Poppy's a Springer Spaniel, and the folks were out there playing with a dog, and the dog decided to chase a seagull and proceeded to run off the cliff. 300 feet it fell into the water and lived.
300 feet. Now, you know, we're going to put a link up so you can see a picture of the cliff and what the dog dove into inadvertently. And it's amazing that he survived.
Absolutely. I mean, there was somebody guiding him down because it could have just as easily hit rocks or beach. And
oh, yeah.
Poppy hit the water, and I think it said that he had a collapsed lung.
Right, but that's not bad considering what could have happened.
Yeah, it could have been a whole lot worse.
Oh, man. And part of the article quotes the owner, and I think this is just a really important piece because, you know, I'm a dog trainer who's forever reminding dog owners, you know, really, really good obedience skills are key. And the owner of Poppy is quoted as saying, she is normally very obedient, but we called at her to stop, and she didn't. And this is, you know, a seagull in this case, which was a much greater distraction and something way more interesting than going to mom and dad. And just remember that out in your everyday world, folks, with your dogs, there are things that they want to go investigate so badly that if they can get away from you, they will. And that's where having a great recall that your dog will come and call or that your dog will stop on a dime if they're trained to that word. You know, that's one of the behaviors I teach dogs who I work with, and it's simply the word stop, and it means stop moving. And to get that, you need to practice it. And this is just, again, a perfect example of, you know, I want the seagull, Mom, more than I want you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's so much focus in those, and, you know, it's a bird.
Oh,
it's a bird dog.
Yeah. And bird dog, Absolutely. So Poppy, we're so glad you survived, darling, and it's just a good little warning for, you know, everyone to work on training those dogs you have, you know, to really high-end obedience skills, because ultimately it can save their lives.
Yeah, you never know.
Absolutely not. And now we have a couple of reminders for folks about programs, national programs that exist, and we're going to put links up for them. Terry, what's the first one?
Well, the first one is the new one, and that is the Puppy Mill tip line. And HSUS put out this tip line so that if you have a breeder in your neighborhood or in your area that you suspect is running a puppy mill, that you can call and report that particular breeder. Because what they're trying to do is they're not trying to stop the breeders. They're trying to cut down on puppy mills. And, you know, anybody that follows us probably knows the how bad the puppy mills are and want to try to get that shut down and have it quality breeders and not crazy breeders.
Yeah, and I think there are programs like this that are beginning to pop up in this country. I think that dog lovers and people who advocate for dog rights are really making a lot of noise now, Terry, and I think they're starting to make a difference. Otherwise, these kinds of programs would not pop up.
Right. There are a lot of people. There's a lot of awareness, even by non-dog or animal activist type people.
Mm-hmm.
Around the puppy mills. And it's also coming up around the dog fighting, which I think is our next item that you were going to talk about was the reward program.
Yeah, and again, dog fighting is just something that has to be eliminated. There is no excuse for it. There's no reason it should exist. And if you believe it should exist, then you shouldn't exist. At any rate, again, the Humane Society of the United States has the HSUS Rewards Program. They've had this for quite some time, but they have a hotline number that you can call to report. They offer a reward of up to $5,000 for information leading to the arrest and conviction of anyone involved in dog fighting or cockfighting. Now, I think that's fabulous.
Yeah.
And you can be anonymous. You know, it's like, if you think somebody has a dog fighting ring in their house, outside their house, if you have any reason to believe that, oh, for heaven's sakes, report it, because dogs do not deserve that kind of treatment. We have run across over the past year so many situations of bait dogs. These are dogs who are, they can be stolen from you, Mr. and Mrs. Animal Lover. Somebody can steal your dog who's into dog fighting and take your sweet, adorable, wonderful family pet, throw that dog into a ring to teach their dogs how to fight and kill.
Yeah.
Do you want that?
And, no, and that happens far too often. You see reports of that, and it's heartbreaking.
Well, it is. And just remember that dog fighting is not something dogs do because they're born to do it, born wanting to do it. They're trained to do it.
Right. This is not a breed problem. This is a people problem.
No, this is a people problem. Once again, as are most problems with dogs. It's not about the dogs. It's about the people who do it. So it's a great program. We will put all the information up on Bark Radio's website. Try to become active, Bark Radio listeners, in some way, in some cause that means something to you that relates to animals. They cannot speak for themselves. And if it is simply, you know, volunteering at a local rescue group or humane society or whatever, do that, you know, or send a donation in, write letters, get involved. We as human beings have to rise above bad folks amongst us and get rid of them. You know, there's no excuse for dog fighting, for puppy mills, for any of this bad, bad dog stuff that's going on in our world. We live in the United States. There's bad dog stuff around the world. Let's get it stopped. Raise your voices. And
be heard. Don't let ignorance and misinformation rule what's being dictated to the dogs or about the dogs. I mean, it's craziness.
Absolutely. It is. And I just think I did a soapbox. Am I right?
Yeah, a little bit of a soapbox, but...
That's okay. Yeah, oh, well, that's okay. Get over it, folks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you ought to know by now.
Yeah, man. Okay, so let's see. Anything else on our agenda today, Carrie?
Cabin fever.
Oh my goodness, I'll tell you, we here in the Southeast have had just one doozy of a winter. Snowstorm after snowstorm. It's like, what up with that? And man, our critters are just going crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I got two cattle dogs that are ready for something.
Well, yeah, and there are four labs in my house, and they're just like, excuse me, can you please get us out in the world again? Because we're going nuts here. So, the big deal in our backyard is squirrel alert. Ooh, squirrel, squirrel, it's chasing the squirrel, I'm trying to catch it. Woo-woo, and thankfully there are lots of trees and the squirrels get away most of the time. And Cody, my yellow lab, has decided that digging holes is a really fun pastime at this point. So they're getting really bored. And yesterday, as I put leash and collar on one of them and tried to head out the door, another of them decided she really wanted to go too and got her head stuck in the door. It's like, no, honey, this is a one dog walk. We'll do everybody else later. But just remember that your dogs need some exercise. They need some getting out in the world, And my friend reminded me, a friend of mine reminded me of this. Some people don't take their dogs out even for walks in the neighborhood on leash because their dogs don't have good leash manners. Or they maybe the individual who wants to walk the dog maybe has a few health issues and the dog pulls them on leash, whatever. Just remember that all can be fixed with some training and with the right gear. Sometimes it's just a matter of using a different harness or collar on your dog. It's worth touching base with a trainer if you need to get that advice. Find out how you can get to the point where you can take your dog out to the park or around your neighborhood and walk and enjoy yourself with your dog. For some of our doggy friends, that's the only exercise they get other than their yards. And so don't put it off, guys. Make it happen for your dog this spring. It's really big.
I think one of the things, too, is for people to realize that the walk process for the dog is as much about sniffing as it is for walking. So make sure somewhere in that walk you guys take a break so they can, sniff and pee and do their business. And
Absolutely.
that's
And if
good
you're.
mental stimulation for the dogs.
Oh, it is. And, when I'm working with a client, and I even do this with my dogs because it's just automatic. For me, walking a dog is not just walking in a straight line. For one thing, if the dog were off leash, he wouldn't be doing that. They follow their noses. So when I have one of my dogs out on leash, it's like, yes, they get sniff breaks, but we also may, we'll stop and we'll do some obedience stuff, or we'll do a quick turn and go the other direction. It's like, hey, with me, bud, just kind of mix it up a little bit. Go at different paces. Do slow pace, fast pace, jog a little bit. Mix it up. The dog will go, okay, I'm going to pay attention to you now because I never know what we're going to do. We keep changing direction. We keep changing speed. It makes the walk way more interesting for the dog.
Yeah. And that's
It's
true with
fun.
any training. Mix it up. Whatever you're doing, whatever the thing, because the dogs like the variety.
Oh, they do. They get bored just like human beings do.
Yeah.
And I know you guys sometimes, don't you bicycle with your dogs?
What was Surrey? Sparky's not so good. He's a little bit slower and older. So he'll trot, but it's more of a bicycle coast. Real slow coast, a lot of brake work going on with Sparky, but
That would be, me and Sparky would make a good team with that. But
But
yeah,
yeah,
if
with
your dog is
Surrey.
a fast-paced dog, yeah, like Miss Surrey. And what do you guys use? Do you use any special gear for the bicycling for
Well,
her?
we've done yes and no. So we've done both ways. You can do it with just a leash. You have to be careful. It depends a lot on the dog. You don't want them crossing in front of you or getting up under the chain or anything. We bought a walkie dog, and it's basically hooks at the base of your seat, and it's a pole that comes out to the side, and then it has a hook on elastic and a spring, so there's some movement there. And it stops them from getting in bad places on the bike, and it stops them from, pulling you off. The problem with the leash is if you have a puller and the dog goes after a squirrel, your hands on that handlebars, you could wipe out.
Right, absolutely.
So we do both, but we didn't start with just the leash. We started with the walkie dog.
Well, that's very, very cool. So, yeah, the point to all this, guys, is your dogs need to have rich, full lives. You know, they will be so much more satisfied and so much easier to get along with in your house if you get them out in the world.
Yeah.
So make a plan, make a date, you know, do a doggy play date with a friend with a dog, you know, in a fenced-in area, whatever. Get them out there, have fun with them, and happy almost spring. And I think
ready
for that,
it.
Terry.
Yeah, I want some warmth.
Yeah, man, we all do. So I think that's it for today.
Yep. We'll see you guys
later.
Bye, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Have a great weekend.